testimonies that are going to come from these requests that were made and others. You're able now, Lord, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you for joining together in prayer. Tonight, from the Word of the Lord, we are going to try to finish up a lesson that we started a few weeks ago from the book, The Life You've Always Wanted. And let me just say that if you have the opportunity to pick up this book, order it online or however you would receive it, it would be a blessing to your life as you read it and then apply it. And the chapter and the lesson that we are going to be finishing tonight is training versus trying. Now, the way to summarize this in just a couple of simple sentences is we're going to look at the difference between just wanting to be transformed, wanting to follow Jesus, wanting to be like Him, hoping that it will happen, or thinking about it, about the change. Those are all good. Those are all great front porches to it. But as you know, it takes some action. You know, we can wish and wish and wish that our bills will be paid, but somebody's got to get up and go to work. Somebody's got to take some action. And so in spiritual disciplines and in becoming what the Lord wants us to become, there's a difference in just trying or thinking about it and really training and putting our, as the old song said, shoulder to the wheel. I begin with a verse of scripture from Matthew chapter 16, where Jesus was teaching and calling to his disciples and to the crowd, and he talks about this difference here. He talks about action and doing something. It's Matthew chapter 16 and verse 24. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. And there's some action phrases in this verse. In fact, more than one or two. Come after. Deny himself, take up the cross, and follow. So the Lord is calling for a training, an exercising, an actual activity versus just thinking about it and hoping. And you may have the lesson before you on your device, or you may have a printed copy. And just a little bit of review before we get into the main part of the lesson. Training versus trying, training is required when it comes to any significant life challenge. And there's a difference. And spiritual transformation is not just a matter of trying harder, but of training wisely. There's a difference, and we must respect that difference. And the first blank there, and you may already have it filled in if you still have your sheet, respecting the distinction between training and merely trying is the key to transformation. Knowing that difference and respecting the distinction is the difference and the key to transformation. Training applies to our health, but it also applies to a healthy spiritual life, just like it does to our health and our physical and intellectual well-being. So there's a need for preparation and training when it comes to possessing godly characteristics and holiness and a holy walk. Following the Lord Jesus simply means learning from Him. How should I arrange my life around activities that will activate and display His character, and that will help us to live in the fruit of the Spirit? In the outline, there's a little listing of what spiritual disciplines are not. And the third thing that's mentioned there is it's not a way to earn favor with God. Spiritual disciplines are not about trying to be good enough to merit God's goodwill. In other words, get extra credit. Spiritual disciplines exist for our sake, not God's. for our sake and not God's. And that's a good way, and that's a good way for us to fully understand why we pray or why we fast or why we read the word of the Lord or why we are faithful to service times like you are being tonight. Why is that? It's not so much for God's sake, although he recognizes it, but it's for our sake, for the sake of spiritual growth and training and then transformation. Some questions listed there at the bottom of the first page. The second one is, what makes something a spiritual discipline? The answer, any activity that helps us gain power to live life as Jesus taught and modeled it. In other words, that would be for us exampling what Paul talked about as the fruit of the Spirit. That's a spiritual discipline. On the second page, question number four, what is a disciplined person? And I really like this definition. Someone who can do the right thing at the right time, in the right way, with the right spirit is the blank there. Someone who can do the right thing at the right time, in the right way, with the right spirit. And there have been instances, and they may come to your mind here, oh, if I'd have just done this, and if I would have just done it this way, I would be better off spiritually, and my family would be better off. I think we've all been there and done that. But as we build these disciplines and exercise these spiritual disciplines of Scripture, that begins to happen. We do the right thing at the right time, the right way, with the right spirit. This is where we left off in the previous lesson, signs of wise spiritual training. Wise training respects the freedom of the Spirit. Up to this point, we hadn't spoken that much about God's role in our spiritual growth. A lot of what had been talked about was what are our responsibilities. But wise training respects the freedom of the Spirit. Spiritual growth is not only the product of training, but we must have the supernatural spiritual work of the Holy Ghost. We must have the power of the Spirit. We can't do it on our own. We need the wind of the Spirit. Jesus said, the wind blows where it chooses. You hear the sound thereof, but you don't know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone that is born of the Spirit. In other words, we've got to depend upon the wind of the Spirit, and we can't always control that. We like to control things, and there's much of life that we should be in control of. But when it comes to the transformation and the leading and the power of the Holy Ghost, our natural flesh and our natural thinking and our natural inclinations many times are going to tend to go one way, but God is wanting to direct us down another pathway. And so we've got to be sensitive, and we have to realize we cannot attain this spirituality just on our own. We need the supernatural help of the Holy Ghost, and we have it. And the difference between in this, and the good illustration is to think of the difference between a motorboat and a sailboat. You can run a motorboat all by yourself when you start that motor up. But a sailboat is different. You put up the sails, you take the rudder in your hand, but we are dependent upon the wind to blow. And that's the way it is in our spiritual life. We have to do some things, but when it comes to the actual supernatural work and dependency, it must be upon the Spirit of the Holy Ghost. We need that spiritual transformation, and we can take no credit for it. God wants to help us, and he will. And I mentioned in the notes, spiritual growth requires sensitivity. We must learn to respond to the fresh wind of the Spirit. It's very likely that even today you have already encountered a direction of God. Maybe it's just been a little nudge of God, or maybe He has spoken to you. Sometimes He does do an audible voice, not very frequently likely, but just a little nudge or a little prompting in your thought or in your mind. We've got to be sensitive to the Lord. Moses was in that wilderness and the bush caught on fire. Now that's pretty dramatic, and that would catch anybody's attention. But the key was Moses, the scripture says, turned aside to see. So he could have gone on. He could have been fearful of it. He could have tried to explain it away even in his own mind. I'm seeing things, or this is just me. How many times have we said that? And there's going to be some times, even maybe in the next few days, for you to be able to answer, well, that's probably just me thinking about praying for that person. Or that's probably just me thinking about contacting that person. But the Spirit of the Lord directs us, and He talks to us. And yes, we pray for people, and yes, we are interceding, and so are others. And who knows, that person that you may be prompted to speak to or pray for or pray with or write a little note to, somebody else has been praying, God, would you deal with that individual? It's so important for us to catch the wind of the Spirit and to do as Moses did, turn aside and see. This was happening to me today. I was going through, and I have a little prayer list that I go by. And I just felt the prompting of the Lord to stall on a certain part and a certain family. And I just kept on and went to the next family. And then I thought, no, there's a reason that I felt that prompting. You know, it doesn't matter. Ortberg mentions in this in his book, he said some time ago that he had purchased a devotional book and he wanted to finish it by the end of the year. So he said there were several times as he was reading, it was clear that something, God was dealing with his heart about something. And he said, I felt like I should stop and study a little more on that certain passage. But if I would have delayed that, that would have kept me from my goal of finishing the book. So I just kept on going and didn't turn aside, in the case like Moses did, to see what God wanted. He said, I should have realized that getting through the book on time was not, as I thought, the way to demonstrate my devotion. The purpose should have been to put myself in a place where transformation could happen. And I'm going to tell you, as for me, I identified with that little illustration. There have been so many times when I wanted to get through that Bible reading part or that check, be able to check that box on that day and be able to move on to the next box on the next day. And because of that, I just motorboated right on through a time when God was trying to keep me right there and maybe try to show me something else in some associated scripture or whatever. So what God is saying to us tonight is just be sensitive. Be sensitive. And in the case of that devotional book, God's main goal was not for the man to finish the book by the end of the year. That's well and good. But God was wanting to use that book as a tool to speak to him. So let God use his tools and be pliable, and let God talk and work through those things in your life. We just have to put up the sails and catch the wind. And that's the way we've got to treat. That's the way we must treat our services. That's the way we must treat the leading of our families. The way we must treat our decisions that we make. God, you speak to us. You prompt us. You knock on the door of our hearts, and we are going to open our hearts to you. Wise training also respects our unique temperaments and gifts. Whatever your natural temperament may be, it's not a barrier to spiritual growth. Sometimes we tend to disqualify ourselves. For instance, some people are spontaneous and kind of off the cuff, and then others are well-organized and plan-ahead type of people. And sometimes those who are highly spontaneous think that they are at a disadvantage for spiritual growth. because living according to a predictable routine is very difficult for them. And in many ways, though, that spontaneity can provide an advantage to be able to give a good response and a right response promptly. And so God understands, and the particular combination of practices and relationships and experience that are needed for growth will be different for every one of us. So do not let your temperament be a hindrance or an excuse. Wise training respects our unique temperament and our unique giftings. The author gave an illustration of the life of Abraham Lincoln, and he's an amazing study in character formation. He was notoriously disorganized. He even had a file in his law office labeled, "If you can't find it anywhere else, try looking here." But look at what Mr. Lincoln accomplished. And even though that trait was not his strength area, he did not let that temperament or that lack of gifting keep him from developing other good traits and accomplishing. We need the freedom to discover how God wants us to grow. And his design will look quite different for us than it may look for somebody else. C.S. Lewis, a famous author, said, "Each person is created to see a different facet of God's beauty." You will see it differently than I will see it. But we're created to see those differing facets, something that nobody else can see in just the same way. And then, as we see it and express it, we'll bless others with an aspect of God they may not have been able to see otherwise. Also, wise training will take into account our season of life. Where we are in this life, our seasons are differently. But seasons of life need not be a barrier to spiritual growth. I have heard young parents talk about, and especially moms, talk about the difference that has come, and it does come when there are children involved, and there has to be care, and there has to be all of those things, and so true. But that need not limit a mom or anybody else from taking the time. And God understands. In fact, the other things that maybe you formerly did, the reading of the scripture and your prayer time, now that's taking up by the caring of a child, God sees that caring as a plus. He sees that as a form of spirituality. I'll just say it that way. And I know there's the practical things. There's the changing of diapers. There's the feeding of the baby. And that may not sound all that spiritual. But what's behind that is the love of a parent. And that is growth. And that is transformation. And so wise training will take into account our season of life, whatever that is. We have to look at it this way. My season of life may be different, but what opportunities are there? What different opportunities? I may have ones now in my late 60s that I did not have in my early 20s or 30s. And it's true. There are things that that we cannot do that we could do before. But that doesn't mean that life shuts down, that spiritual disciplines and spiritual process shuts down, or God closes us out. But there are some new opportunities that we can take and that are presented to us. Life counts, folks. All of it counts. Every moment is potentially an opportunity to be guided by the Lord into his way of living. Every moment, and I use that phrase on purpose, every moment, and I mean it. Every moment is a chance to learn from Jesus how to live in the kingdom, in his kingdom. Every moment can be a potential time of communion with God. Somebody put these statistics together. By the time your life is over, you will have spent 6 months at a stoplight. 8 months opening junk mail, a year and a half looking for lost stuff, and double that number for some of us, and 5 years standing in various lines. So life is made up of a lot of moments, and a lot of moments really that just kind of go down the drain and are wasted. We can give God many of those moments. By giving God those moments and what the author calls your whispering thoughts, common moments can become uncommon. And you found it to be true. Maybe just driving the highway or driving somewhere, you begin to contemplate on God or think about God or listen to a song or think about a message that you have heard or some verses that you have read or are listening to a message or listening to a song or praying. You begin to give those moments to God, and you had some God moments. That's what I'm talking about. Every moment has some potential. And simple phrases like a thank you, Jesus, in your automobile. A thank you, Lord, or you're a great God as you sit in the kitchen or in the living room or out on the deck. God, you're my helper. You're my resting place. Those little phrases can turn a commute into a spiritual encounter. That drive to work, that drive to school, that walk, whatever it might be, can be turned into a spiritual encounter. You don't have to leave your office to feel the presence of God. You don't even have to kneel in your kitchen. You can just pray right where you are. Let the kitchen become a cathedral. Let the classroom become a chapel. Give God your common moments. I did really feel the Lord, and I'm going to pause right here. I felt the Lord stall me as I was preparing this lesson on this particular page and point. For us to just fully understand, and I want to just emphasize it and put an underline and a yellow highlighter across it. Give God your common moments, because with God, really, and if He's in that moment, it's really not common. And if you are filled with His Spirit, or your heart is open, and maybe you're seeking God, in fact, you can give God a common moment, and He can fill you with His Spirit in an automobile. He can fill you with His Spirit in a park. He can fill you with His Spirit walking down the street. He is not limited. And I just believe that as we are sensitive to God, He is going to speak to us. Yes, He speaks to us in services. Yes, He speaks to us through messages. And there, for so long, we were able to operate with coming to church and having folks around us in this building and being together and singing and worshiping and having our typical format. But we have found even in this that there are some common things and some challenging moments that can become very uncommon and be blessed of the Lord. So I believe the Lord's going to help us. I want us to pray right now before we continue on. I want us to pray that God would help us to be sensitive. Now, Lord, I'm asking that You would help us to be sensitive to Your Spirit. Let a fresh sensitivity rest upon Your people, O God, and upon every person whose heart is toward You, their mind and their thoughts. I pray that You would help them to be sensitive. Help us all to be sensitive. And I know, Lord, You're going to speak to us. You're going to speak to us. We're going to hear the knock on our heart's door. You're going to direct us. You're going to help us. I thank You for that. I thank You for that. And on the heels of that, I just want to tell you, never take for granted God's very nearness and His closeness. Never take it for granted. He's with you right now. And I know sometimes we say this, and we almost say it sometimes glibly, and that God's going to be with you when you leave this building, and God's going to be with you through the night, and God's going to be with you tomorrow as you go about your daily routine, whatever that is. But it's true. God is near. Stop and think about the wonder of His continue. There's not been one moment of this day that He has not been with you. There's not been one moment of this day. And I know not all moments are glorious and we're not speaking with tongues and singing joyously, but God is always there. He's a present help. And if we just stop and think about in our common moments, God is there. Sometimes these moments are so common that we fail to see the uncommonness, the God factor that is in them. His name is Emmanuel, God with us. He lives up to that name. He lives up to that name. There is not a moment. If you're in a hospital, God is with you. When you are traveling to the doctor's office, God is with you. When you're on that job interview, God is with you. When you're being challenged on the job you do have and you're facing an obstacle or facing a wall, God is near. Never take for granted. And not just in challenging time, folks. Sometimes it's the common times. It's the time when life is just flowing that we tend to forget, or we tend to maybe take for granted. It's just that human default. I'm not excusing it. I'm just saying that's reality. But if we can bring ourselves back to stop and think, this is Emmanuel. This is Emmanuel. Even the persons that love you the most, they can't be with you always. Persons can't know, even the closest friends can't know all the secrets of your heart and your mind and your spirit. But the Lord knows everything about you. The scripture says even the very number of hairs on your head, and he watches the sparrows fall. He knows everything about you. Brother Thomas and I were talking just earlier. None of this has taken God by surprise. None of it has. As nothing ever has, God is near. He knows everything about us. I don't know what our future holds. I don't know what the United States of America is going to look like at the end of this year or at this same time next year. We do not know that. But God is near and God is close. And he has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. So God knows all about us. I want to relieve us right now. We don't have to work at revealing ourselves to him. He knows. Now we do present ourselves to him. But as far as God, let me tell you this about me. He knows it. God, let me tell you what I'm thinking. It's okay to do that and to say that. He wants us to express that at times. But as far as having knowledge of it, God knows. And he knows those secret worries. Some of those that we feel almost ashamed to talk to anybody about, God knows them. And he's concerned about them. And he doesn't condemn you for them. But there is a nearness. God is near. And I say to everybody tonight, members and guests and anybody who ever views this, the Lord is freely available to all who call upon him. I'm glad I can say, as pastor of Apostolic Pentecostal Church, to the sheep and to the members of this church, I'm glad I can say to you, the Lord is freely available. But this church believes along with me tonight, it's not just for the churchgoer. It's not just for the church member. It's not just for the Holy Ghost filled individual. But God is near to everybody. And if you are watching tonight or listening tonight or whenever you watch or listen, God is near you. Just know that he knows all about you. And I know sometimes we say that in the terms of he knows everything that you've been doing wrong. He knows all of your failures. And yes, he does know all of that. But he knows your needs. He knows how much you love him, how much you care, how much you are concerned. He knows all of that about you. He is so close. He's willing. He's available if you'll call upon him, if you'll open your heart to him. That simple act of faith of calling on him. I encourage somebody, you can do it right now. Call on the Lord. Or do it in the next hour. Or do it tonight later. Or do it tomorrow. Just call on the Lord. That simple act of faith. We call it prayer. We call it calling upon the Lord. But that simple act of faith can be the beginning of a lifelong, life-impacting relationship. Praise God. He's close. He's near. He's with us. I just have a few questions here, and I think I'm going to wrap it with this. He understands us perfectly. Think about this. He understands us perfectly and completely, and He loves us eternally. I want to say it again. Maybe you want to jot it down. He understands us perfectly and completely, and He loves us eternally. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you, and He's thankful for all the good things you did today. He loves you in spite of any failure that you may have taken today. He loves you. Let me just close with these questions. What does God's ultimate nearness mean to you? I want you to let it saturate here. What does God's nearness mean to you? Let me ask also, do you take God's presence for granted? What comfort does it provide to you knowing that God loves you and that God is close? There's an assurance that comes with that knowledge that God loves us. He wants you to have that assurance. He doesn't want you to be unsure about how He feels about you. He doesn't want you to be unsure about your salvation. He loves you. He wants you to be saved. He is close. What does God's ultimate nearness? I want to encourage you. I want to admonish you. Beginning tonight, and I know it won't be the beginning for many of you. You do this already. But let this be a fresh start, and let it accelerate your thankfulness for the nearness of God and your awareness of the nearness of God. I read a humorous little story today about a young lady, and she and a college friend, they did this little experiment. They called it Jesus Tuesdays. And on Tuesday, now they loved the Lord other days, but on Tuesdays they just went through the actions and pretended that Jesus was with them all day long as they went through their day. When they went to the coffee shop, when they were riding in the automobile, they just pretended that Jesus was literally with them. Well, He was. He was. But they wanted to bring it real, and they wanted to bring this nearness thing into reality for them. And they say it impacted their lives. They did things that looked strange to others when they would acquiesce to Jesus, and they would treat it as though there was an actual third party with them at a table or in the car. It helped them to focus on the fact that He is always with us. And you don't have to scoot over in the car to make room for the Lord to acknowledge that He's there or to prove that He's there. He's there. He's with us. He is very near. I'm going to ask you if you would, if you can, if you would stand together with me right now, and we're going to close in prayer. And we're going to close with a prayer for sensitivity and a heightened awareness. God, I want to be aware of You. And here's what's going to happen. The more aware of Him we are, the more aware of others we will be. Would you join together and let's pray. Now, Lord, I'm very thankful for Your nearness, and it has been in our service tonight. You have been near to all of us. You have been close. Your presence has been witnessed, and I thank You for it. I pray that You would heighten our sensitivity. Sharpen it, God. Help us to hear the very slightest of Your voice. Help us to hear the faintest tap by Your hand on our heart's door. Help us to be so sensitive that we hear every movement that You make, or we see every move that You make. I pray that You would help us to be sensitive and help us to realize even more so and be even more thankful for that nearness and Your presence that is always there. You said it, Lord, you would never leave us or forsake us. That means in good times or in bad. That's just not talking about the future. That's talking about that you are with us right now. You haven't left. You won't leave us when a service concludes. You are there. I thank you now, Lord, and I pray that you would help us to be sensitive to you. And in that, then you are going to help us to be sensitive to others. Lord, the wind of your Spirit has blown tonight. We've tried to put up the sails as your people, and we have, and you're going to carry us to the right harbor and the right destination. We thank you now, Lord, for it. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. And God bless you for your faithfulness to being a part of this service tonight, and let's let God direct us and use us.